The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Welcome to a special live edition of On the Mat, not live for anyone listening on the podcast, but live from the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. Our first time trying this, but we're excited. One of Iowa's favorite sons, or maybe he is Iowa's favorite son, three-time NCAA wrestling champion from the University of Iowa, 1984 Olympic silver medalist, just retired after 25 years head wrestling coach at the University of Wisconsin, Barry Davis with us. Thanks for joining us live from the Gable Museum. You know Gable pretty well, don't you?
Somewhat, and I think I know what he looks like.
You do?
Yeah, he coached me in a few matches.
Yeah. Why'd you go there? Why'd you go to Iowa from Cedar Rapids, Prairie?
Actually, I just thought my dad being close to home. Jimmy Zlesky went down there. Actually, I didn't go to hardly any college meets in high school at all. I was watching on Iowa Public Television all the time. But Jimmy and Lenny were down there, and I think it's just a good fit for me. It was close to home, and it was the best fit overall.
Jimmy and Lenny Zaleski were your teammates at Cedar Rapids Prairie. They went on to great careers at the University of Iowa.
Yep.
Jimmy was a three-time NCAA champion. You were a three-time NCAA champion, both from Cedar Rapids Prairie. Pretty remarkable. And then Lenny makes the finals twice. What was your relationship like growing up in high school together?
You know, they're from Shelbyville, but you know, we were also on the same junior high team. Well, Jimmy and I did, but just being around them, tried to freestyle tournaments all the time. It was great. Push each other, become better overall. And like I said, we're all three in the finals. In fact, I think it's the first time three guys from the same high school has been in the finals or not.
All at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time.
Boy, that's a great piece of trivia.
What do you think?
I would think so. I can't. Unless there's something that happened with...
What about some of Gable's teams?
No. Yeah, three guys from the same high school.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean...
Did he rep three?
Yeah, he did with the Davis and Lenny and Jimmy. You guys were all in the finals together.
Three. But anybody else in the country ever do that?
I mean...
Same high school in the finals.
From the same team.
Same team.
I can't think of any.
At any time, for any high school, on any
That's
team.
A good question.
Yeah. Maybe the old Tulsa Central back in the day. I could see that maybe happening when they were up and running and winning championships. Yeah. But that would be a great...
They said that year, if we entered as a team, we would have took fifth as a team. There's the three of us.
Just the three of you guys?
That's not bad.
That's pretty remarkable.
Top five, that's not bad.
Now, when I think of you, I think of your parents, first and foremost. I'm sure that's how you think, too. But Elmer, your dad, worked tirelessly to make sure you had all the opportunities. Worked double jobs. I think
he did.
Mom brought a brown bag lunch
so he
could go to work. I mean, what your dad had to have instilled your work ethic.
Yeah, I just talked to my dad on the way down here. And the other night, I called him up. He called me the other day about 7:30. Hey, Barry, what's going on? So what are you doing? I just put in 7 hours of work. I go, what? What do you mean 7 hours of work? It's just 7:30 because I went to work at midnight.
Man.
He was up middle night. It could be the other day he went in one, got off at 8:30, he was just in his car, 81 years old, drive across town, open the building, turn the lights on, make his parts, do his work, and then works 7-8 hours and go home.
They had to have had the energy because you have a lot of energy. Is that where you got it from?
I got the energy from my mother and the work ethic from my dad. Well, from both, basically, both of them.
When did you realize that was the combination? Did you know as a kid that was the case?
I don't think as a kid you think about that much because you're doing your own thing. But I think when you get older in time, you know, as you get older and your parents get older, you look back and say, who am I like? What's going on here? So I think I realized that, you know, a little bit in college, but after college mostly when I had kids too.
How did Dan Gable recruit you to Iowa? What was your recruiting story with Gable?
Actually, back in Prairie High School, we had, I can't remember what it was called. Certain things were, you could take, like the last 2 weeks of school, you could take half a day for this, half a day for that. So we got on to Iowa City. Ron James, my high school coach, would take us down there to the Iowa place and work out down there. So, you know, Gable through that, the guys through the program through that. But since Jimmy and Lenny were down there, I'd go down in the summertime and work out with them.
Okay.
So that's kind of the connection right there, I think, overall. But I think really Mike Neri, which had a lot to do with him and John. Remember John? You don't remember John Marks?
Yeah, the name, of course. Never met him. But
those two guys said a lot of things about, hey, no, this guy might be pretty good. I think Mike Neri told him that quite a bit. Hey, keep an eye on this guy right here from Prairie here. But he already knew Jimmy Laney, too. But kind of all worked out together, and it worked out great for me.
Did you know you were going to be a fan favorite right away? Because you're the guy that a lot of people like to watch. And did you feel that vibe early?
I didn't think about that. I just went out and did my job. You know, I was training to win. You know, the time in the practice room, and I'd be the first guy out there, 118 at that time. It was right at the smallest weight classes, but I'm an emotional guy. I let my emotions take over, and I just, a lot of energy, and he just turned out to be that way.
I think of the Hawkeye lightweight lineage, and now with Spencer Lee, and you go back with Gilman and Clark, and further back, Schwab, Ironside, Tom and Terry. The first guy that I remember was Barry Davis. Was there somebody before you that helped really develop your style that was in the room that taught you to wrestle the way you wrestled?
I think when I first got there, it was just survival for me. You had Dan Glenn I worked out with, Keith Moreland, Timmy Szeski, those type of guys there. So come in the practice room, you better be ready to compete, otherwise it'd be a long practice. Some were really long. But I think being with those guys each and every day that way, and you come in, be ready to go, and just kind of snowball from there.
Well, you started in 81 a true freshman, 81 season. Gable started as the head coach in 1977. So those were the early years forming the Iowa wrestling legacy. But it's maybe not what you would think of with the current day. I mean, you think about what that era was. And there was a lot of rowdy times during that era.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that. What it was like being in that Iowa wrestling vibe in the early 80s and what transpired.
What do you mean by rowdy vibes? Like what?
Well, you know. You tell us. I'm asking you the question. I don't know.
You're trying to pull some stuff out of me here.
No, I am trying.
The guys worked hard, but I think the guys played hard, too, a little bit. I don't think there was a drinking age at that time. I don't think there's a 21-year-old drink. I don't think it was. But college guys being college guys, working hard and being attention in the wrestling room. Now, I didn't drink it all in college. I didn't do any of that stuff. But I got the guys now and then and hang out with those guys. But I think the stories that people talk about are more blown up than they really were.
Yeah.
I just think that when we went out, people knew who we are. Russell was big at that time. We won the national championships. And people want to be around you and spend time with you and talk to you and maybe buy you a drink or here if you drank and do that. That's a little bit of an entourage, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it like being a rock star, winning those championships? Did you get treated with a celebrity treatment in Iowa City?
I don't look at it that way. I think we just did what we're trained to do, and that was to win. You know, I think people knew who you were when you walked around because the sport was so big on campus. I mean, winning national championship, and you're putting 16,000 people in Carver. You're exciting to watch. You bring a lot out of people that way. Actually, the old fieldhouse was packed too. That was great, but I don't think I ever viewed it that way. I just viewed it that go out and compete, do your very best, be intense, and doing that guy like Mike Allen, the official, would call you for stalling that way. You know, we didn't want that. You know, Mike Allen was a good official. In fact, he fished me in high school as well too.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Did he have the afro at the time, or what was the?
He had a beard like you right here, kind of like that. But there's Mike right there. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey, thanks for stopping by. But no, but he, even back then, the fishing that way too, you took one step backward, they call you for stalling. Not like now. And so as far as being a rock star, I think we were away from Iowa City. I was more that way because people wanted to be around and come watch you compete. So everywhere we went, they packed the place every time. And they wanted to see Iowa wrestling, what we're all about. And I think that was what blew me away more than Iowa City was the, we went away somewhere else. People approach you and want to be around you and do stuff, touch you, whatever. Like that was to me, was more crazy than anything.
What's the difference between the Iowa wrestling dynasty and the Penn State wrestling dynasty from what you see?
Right now, not a whole lot. I mean, they have five guys in the finals this year.
Five in the finals, four champs.
Yeah, well, we had five in the finals a couple of years as well, too. Same thing. I mean, they're winning national championships. We won national championships. They're scoring 130, 140 points. We scored 130 on 40 points as well, too. They put five in the finals. We put five in the finals. I mean, not a whole lot right now, I don't think.
Well, what made Gable a great coach? Why was he the standard bearer?
I think he pushed you, but he knew how to push everybody's buttons and do the small things that way. You watched him train in the room. He trained at the high level, and we've seen that. We respected his work ethic. We tried to live up to that work ethic. Just that, the expectation. He didn't want to lose for the guy. You couldn't tell the guy no. So he lost. Walked over the mat. He had his doubt, but he said, you know how much it meant to him, how much it meant to you and your team. And he never talked about losing. He always talked about winning. So when you lost, it was hard on you. It wasn't me, at least.
Yeah.
That's the way I took it.
So your losses didn't come very often, but it came at the Midlands.
Yeah.
You never won the Midlands. Why do you think that was your why do you think that was your tournament that you just couldn't get?
Maybe because where Gable lost his last match, you think?
Yeah. I mean, it could be.
Well, it could be. I never won the Midlands in college. That gave me over half my losses at Midlands right there. Wow. But when I got out, I won it twice. But yeah, I had like what, 9 losses and like 5 were at the in fact I was never in the finals in college.
At Midlands.
Never in the finals. Yeah. I don't know why that was. The scariest thing was my senior year, the Big Ten were at Northwestern. I go, you got to be kidding me. Never won the Midlands, never been in the finals. Now the Big Ten were at Northwestern. I go, this is not good. I mean, it ran through my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, you got to be kidding me. No way. Not now. I go for my 4th title. This can't happen to me.
Well, you have maybe the coolest stat for your finals opponents in NCAA championship history. Every single guy you wrestled in the finals was an eventual world silver medalist. Yeah. Gary Bohe, Kevin Darkus, and Joe McFarland. Let's go through each of those guys and your rivalry with them, starting with Joe McFarland, who just retired as head wrestling coach at Michigan. Yeah. We just had him on our show a few weeks ago, and he had a lot of respect for you and said you guys are friendly. But talk about that rivalry in college going against Joe McFarland.
I didn't really meet Joe until the finals, I think, of Big Ten's of my freshman year. Actually, they were in Madison. I beat Joe in the Big Ten finals there. So I first got introduced to Joe. But, guys like him and Darkus, mostly I wasn't getting them the most. Bohe stood one time in the finals. But guys like that motivated me each and every day, a driving force. And really get me out of bed every day, but I was pretty driven anyway. But they kept me on my toes, make sure I'm working out. And, they're fierce competitors. And I'd work at a certain pace, do certain things, make sure I stayed ahead of those guys. That was the key.
And Kevin Darkus being in-state school, man. I mean, you guys had a lot of great matches together.
I think we wrestled 19 times, I think.
19?
I think.
Is that high school, too? Or is that
first he beat me the junior nationals my first time in Iowa City. And beat me the junior nationals. No, was it you and I? I think it was Iowa City. He beat me in the finals down there. And I remember some of my teammates were saying, man, he'll never beat that guy. He beat me like 12-2. And after that, the score was like 14-4-1.
Really?
Yeah, but I beat him for the junior world team, NCAAs, world and Olympic team. But man, we talk about a fierce competitor, though. He was tough. Strong, savvy, good on top, could throw.
You're on world teams with John Smith, who was a 6-time world and Olympic champion, the weight class below. Did you guys have some battles in the wrestling room?
We were quite a bit. Yeah, different styles though.
Yeah,
more low single. I was more power. He's more speed and finesse that way. Yeah, great workout partner though.
Were those fun matches to have?
Again. Yeah, I mean, Again, at that time, Jeff was at 36.5. I was at 25.5. So I'm using John to make me better, and like John's using me to make him better. And look at it as a rivalry. You can't. You're on the same team. You look at it as like, I'm here at practice getting ready for the Olympic Games and World Championships. So I mean, I had the workout partner, and hey, you're wrestling world champion here. That's just, he got you ready to perform, and you also got his style of figuring things out. So it wasn't really a competition. It was getting yourself ready for competition.
Did you know he was going to do those great things when you were competing against him? Because you were a little earlier than him, but was the writing on the wall that he was going to be that good?
No, but I think the biggest turnaround with him I think when we wrestled in Oregon, he wrestled Victor Alexiev. I think this is the match. Victor went to throw him, and he stepped in and caught him like a match in the crotch, doing to his back. And then Victor was like a two-time world champion. When he won that match, boom, they just kicked off on him right there. I mean, that might have been a turnaround in his career. Might have been, might not have been. I mean, for me as a competitor, you know what? He won that match. He just went this direction. Now, John knew no better than me, but that was a big win for him. After that, he just went that direction, I think.
Do you have a turning point in your career that defined how you were able to continue in the sport? Maybe grocery store or something that happened?
One turning point for me was, I started earlier. I beat Bobby Weaver in the Lehigh duel after a loss, true freshman year. I remember walking in there, and Gabe walks right over to Bobby Weaver, starts talking to him, because Gabe coached an Olympic team in 80, and I think in 79, both in San Diego. They're yucking it up, whatever, and I knew I got beat the night before that, and he walks away, hey, just so you know, that's Bobby Weaver. I said, I know who it is. Yeah. So he kind of taught me a little bit, you know, like Bobby's, hey, Barry's a true freshman, and 118 would go out there and in my house, kind of, you know, I got beat the night before, my first loss in college. He embarrassed me, whatever. I thought, you know what? He would kind of get under my skin a little bit. So Weaver, and then that's it. I don't care, true freshman or not, be ready for this match. And won that match 13-11. That was a turning point. But my biggest turning point, I think for me, was August of 81. That's my freshman year. Worked Jay Robinson's camp all summer long. Drilled every day, worked hard, and working a technique. It's just not coming. It's just not coming. Why is this not coming to me? Just not feeling all these different holes, all these different things. Just grinding every day and doing something. Just not coming. So one day I wrestled Randy Samuelson, another gentleman I wrestled for the junior world team out by Southern Oregon in practice. We were pretty much traded off takedowns evenly, amongst the three of us. The next day we worked out again. I beat him like, I don't know, 25, 30 to nothing. Within 24 hours, I mean, he just kind of clicked and took off. That's why I tell athletes, never stop training. You never know when it's going to change. Just keep hanging in there until you get a change. Some people kind of, you know, quit too soon or get down on themselves, but just keep grinding away and keep at it. And when it kicks in. After that, I just went to a different level.
I'm fascinated by that, because how do you make changes like that? How does it transition like that? Is it a mental thing? Does it because you pushed and he didn't? What happens there?
I think I was just thinking about it too much. You know, does that come to me? I mean, you know, you figure what we spend 2, 4, 8, probably 10 weeks of intensive camp. Like, what is going to come? What is going to come? And I think I decided it happened instead of thinking about it so much. It just changed in one day, and then I made a huge jump right there.
Who's the greatest Hawkeye wrestler ever? And you can say yourself.
There's a lot of them.
No, I want the number one Hawkeye. You have the most wins, 162. Okay. You can throw yourself in the mix, but who in your mind's the greatest Hawkeye?
Okay, there's a lot of three-time finalists. You got Eddie. You got Tom. You got Mac Ravy. He's a four-time finalist, though.
Yep. Jimmy Zaleski.
Oh, Jimmy, yeah. There you
Joe
go.
Joe Williams,
yeah.
So there's six, and then including you, there's the six three-timers.
Okay, there's no four-timers.
Nope.
So, well, Mitchell Lee could pass me eventually. You never know. He only has one right now, but you don't know yet what's going to happen, though. I'm saying they're pretty high. You got to figure, I made every international team in college. Junior World, Pan Am, World Olympic team all in college. The other guys didn't. So,
You're number one?
You know what? Here, I'll say yes. Yes. Okay. Why wouldn't I be?
So you got to step out there against Spencer Lee. What would be your match plan?
Spencer Lee? I say, Spencer Lee, you're good, but you're not that good yet. No, you know, he won as a true freshman. I didn't. So, I tell you what, I watched him train. I was at Big Tens. I watched him warm up and drill. He has a great feel for what he does. I'm just trying to pick, like, how would I attack this guy? What would I do? And I enjoy doing that stuff as a coach, doing that. And he's got some good skills. really good skills. I mean, that's the way I got to think. I mean, that's why I had to think with, like, when Rick Russell Marinelli, I had a game plan for this guy. That guy's like breaking. Our guy's kind of tall and skinny. So I'm always trying to, as a coach, always watching certain guys train, certain guys do things, trying to game plan. But especially he has some unbelievable skills. And the thing is, too, he's a great young man, great personality, good work ethic. And he does everything with class. I'll say that.
What did you enjoy doing more, coaching or competing? What was more rewarding?
Is there satisfaction in both? Because as a competitor, worried about yourselves, and you had goals you want to achieve as a competitor. And it was fun to work that hard and train that hard and put the time and discipline in to achieve those goals. But as a coach, too, now that you're in coaching, you look back, you know what? You get older, you get more satisfaction out of helping other guys win and train and do stuff. So it's hard to say which is better, because you're in this right here. It's about you as an individual achieving your goals, but helping the team win at the same time. Yeah. But now when you're in this role, that's the most important role. This time, this role is important to me. Now I'm over here. These guys here are important to me. So it's not about me anymore. It's about the team. I enjoyed both. I enjoy coaching more now because, again, back then I had strategized for one guy. That was me. Now I got strategized for like 32 guys. I'd rather do that. But in college, what I did in college is this. In college, I'd watch like for Eddie Bennett, whatever. I'd be sitting at the bench, like, oh, here comes the high quads, here comes this, here comes that. But other guys would do? How'd you know that? I mean, even in practice, I'd watch guys in practice. I'd watch Eddie Bannick or Louis Bannick or Randy Lewis, whatever, or Lenny Jimmy. And figure, how would I beat these guys? So I watch them. I do everything they did in practice. So I watch them in company. Oh, here comes this, here comes that. Like, how'd you know that? I said, guys, don't you ever watch guys in practice? You got to pay attention to what's going on in practice room all the time. Who's doing what? Like me watching Spencer Lee. I enjoyed watching him train and warm up. I go, this guy's got some good skills. How'd you beat this guy? So it'd be tough to beat him right now. His skills are pretty good. But I enjoy watching Pete with that level, what they do and the things they do, and try to figure out maybe the way they're thinking, the skills they're using, watch their hands mostly and their feet move. I just enjoy the technical part of the sport. It's a great sport.
What did you do to get an edge?
I visualize a lot about my opponents and what they lead, what they did. I'd watch guys. Now you have so much videotape, you can go on the floor and see anything you want. Back then we didn't have that. So I got the edge by the time I went to a tournament. I found out who my guys were and watched the first thing they did. The first thing they did, I mean, that's their favorite go-to move right there. And I had to write that down and put that in mind all the time to get my edge that way. So I'd always watch those guys all the time. What they do, I wouldn't sit in a tournament, go to sleep and take a nap, whatever it was. My weight class is up. Russell, watch this guy, watch that guy, watch that guy. You know, I was always planning ahead all the time. I think that gave me an edge mentally, so I could always see what's going on with my opponents, what's happening all the time. Because now you have all kinds of videotape.
So as we talk specific to your time at Wisconsin, I know you like your guys, but maybe give three guys that stood out. Maybe not as your best, but guys that just made an impact on you and stood out as unique people in the Wisconsin program.
Three guys. Donnie Pritzloff, two-time national champion. His workout and drive was really good, really good. I mean, won it twice. I thought he had a chance to win it three times. His sophomore year didn't happen, but the grinding work ethic with him was really good. I was impressed by that, his intensity. And, I actually moved out of my office the other day. I found a letter saying that. He wrote a letter saying that these are things I need to do next year in order to win. To do that, I need to work on this. And he did, and he won. I enjoyed Tommy Klum. Like, he was probably the smartest guy I've ever wrestled as far as like adapting wise. He first came out, he goes, "Coach, just so you know, I don't like to run, I don't like to lift weights, I just like to wrestle." I said, "Okay, all right, I get it." And he was good at wrestling, and he made some really good changes. He could adapt, even though he never won the national championship. But he gets adapt. He can adapt in the match real fast and just make changes right then. Time to this, he just do it automatically. A couple of different guys. And guys like Kyle Rochelle, he made some big changes. And Jeff Walter was good too. I mean, Jeff Walter going into NCAA tournament, lost his last two duels. I think he lost three matches in the Big Tens. He's like, you know, Jeff Walter's like, what, 6'4", about 230? He kept going, oh, he's getting down in the mouth, being negative, saying this, saying that. Finally, I said, you know what? Enough of that. I grabbed him and threw him against the wall. I said, listen, you need to shut your mouth. Just do what I tell you to do. You know what? Listen, okay? That's behind us. You're going to win the national championship. Understand? Do what I tell you to do. Stay on track. Believe what I'm saying. Okay, we got a week and a half here. Get the job done. Do this, and this. It's going to happen. I don't want to hear complaining about this, be negative about that. That stuff is behind us. You are the best heavyweight. You will win. It's what you to do. First of all, get rid of the bad talk. And he won it in Minneapolis. That was pretty satisfying there. That was really satisfying there.
Yeah. What are you most proud of what you did there, and maybe what box that was left unchecked is going to stick with you most?
Well, the most is, you know, maybe winning more team trophies and doing better as a coach that way, you know. But to me, the most important thing is a lot of kids came in, the academics and their success when they left Wisconsin from that point of view. You want more wins, you want more titles, you want more of this. But at the same time, I think those guys came in as boys, not that men. They're all very, very successful. And they all need something. They give me a call. I'm always there for them. And we've got some good relationships that way. They've all been very, very successful and in life in general. And I, as a coach, I can be very, very proud of that.
I want to just throw out some names of people, and I just want you to tell me what you think about these people. I'm going to start with Randy Lewis.
Exciting. The guy's not scared of anybody to compete with. He'd take on anybody, anytime. And, and he had people understand, well, Randy Lewis, like to have fun. But I tell you what, you put Randy Lewis in the wrestling room, that guy worked hard. He worked harder than I think maybe the hardest working guy in the room when he competed. And he wasn't scared to get throw himself to his back. He was always learning all the time. So, yeah, great competitor.
How about Tom Brands?
Oh, man. Oof. Physical, fierce competitor. Man, he went hard. I loved watching him. Yeah. We had some battles. Yeah, Tommy wasn't the best runner. But tell you what, though. Tim kind of compete, lace him up. That guy was a beast.
Is Terry the same, or are there differences? What are the differences between those
differences,
two?
Like Terry's more stubborn, more bullheaded. Where Tom is maybe not as much. I don't know, but man, what's the difference? They're both competitors that way. And I think, both, well, watch those guys wrestle each other in practice sometimes. They're like, oh, man, something's going to happen here. Say no fists are flying. But they used to be that way in practice. Here's the thing about those guys. They lived apart during the season. You know, something to practice, you had to watch out because things would go happen. But around tournament time every year, they would stay in the same apartment and they can sleep in the same bed. That was good to see. They would do that. And that's what you call, that's something special there with those guys. I think they lived apart, but at the end, they came together. And that showed a lot about Tom and Terry as brothers. And as, that was pretty special there.
How about Sergey Belaglazov?
Oof. One of the best ever. I wrestled some strong guys. That guy was unbelievable. First period, I couldn't stay with him. Second period, be about even, but he was just, that was good, flat out good.
Yeah. How about Jimmy Zaleski? We talked about him, but just overall, your thoughts on Jimmy?
Great work ethic, really physical, but man, he put it beat down a Nate Carr, didn't he? You know, but Nate was a competitor. Nate went up to wrestle that, but I think Jimmy was again same thing. Great work ethic, very strong, technical, great high crotch. good cradle, good on top. Yeah.
Brad Penrith.
Wiry. Wiry competitor. You never know what's happening with that guy. Good on top. I seen him in the NCAA championships one time. They told him to take down. He was on taking top. Or the guy out to win. Whoa. Pretty impressive.
How about this guy right here, Jordan Burroughs?
Talent, but has adapted. You watch him first wrestle. They couldn't slow him down. He tried to unhook him. Get good at unhooks. Was good on top. Good ankle cross. Good gut wrench. Now you go lower body, upper body, and throw. So Jordan Burroughs is just talented. Yeah, he's talented, but he adapted at the same time. He's made changes. That's why he's won so many world titles and Olympic championships. He's done that. What they throw at him, he's already made an adjustment every time and come out on top.
All right, my last one's Kyle Snyder.
Wow. People talk about John Smith. Right now, John Smith is the greatest because, number of world Olympic titles he has. And Bruce is right behind him. But Kyle Snyder could be the greatest.
You think he'll be that way? You think he'll?
Well, you know what? Everybody says, he'll be that way. But again, you don't know. You don't know. I mean, look at Tomasello. Won it. Is a true freshman year. They won it again, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Got from Arizona State with the Northwestern. Won it, never won it again. So you can't say they're going to be the greatest. You don't know. Maybe Kyle Snyder gets injured or something happens or personally stuff happens. We don't know about. We don't know about that. But he's on track. He's on track right now. Maybe because he won it at a younger age than Burroughs did and John Smith did, right? He's on track to be the greatest. So if he keeps the same work ethic, the same mindset, what he's doing right now, he could do that.
All right, got a question.
But he's not there yet,
though. Got a question here from Jason Bryant. Barry always talked to me about coaches looking the part and looking like they are professionals. Does he see the look of coaches improving or regressing in the past 10 years?
I say looking better because, right now you got to wear khaki pants, collared shirt. I mean, what do you mean by that? You think? I think the sport has cleaned itself up. I like that. You get done, shake hands, win or lose, walk off the mat with respect. And that's what we got to do. Hey, you can be a fierce competitor when the whistle's blowing, no doubt about it. But if you don't get your hand raised, hey, you lost. Be a man, shake hands, and walk off. Make an adjustment.
Did this guy here, Mike Allen, did he look the part?
Mike Allen is the part. Mike Allen actually coached me in high school. I mean, not coached me. He roughed me. Officially in high school and in college, and he's doing it now. Right now, he is the best thing that can happen to college wrestling because he's head official of the Big Ten and the MAC. It was a Big Ten at 12-2, but he's doing conferences, and he's bringing back intensity the way officiating should be done. You shouldn't be there. So they have the right guy for the right job, and Mike, I can't be at the Big Ten meetings no more, but I appreciate all you've done for me as an individual, but in the sport itself, and just keep the officials in line, doing what's right, making the right calls. They'll make mistakes, but hold them accountable, and that's the best thing you can do is hope you hold them guys accountable, and it's showing. I said, Mike, this is the best Big Ten we've ever had, ever, and it was good.
So, why'd you retire after 25 years?
Time to move on a little bit.
And what's that going to be? What are you going to do next? Still stay involved in wrestling, I hope.
No, I'll be involved in wrestling somehow. Okay. I mean, I got a job with a guy by the name of Brian Slater, athlete of mine, and Wayhaven Foods. It's called Silver Star Nutrition. I'll be selling protein to colleges and doing that. But I still love the sport. I still love wrestling. I'll watch it. I'll go to Flow. I'll watch the big duels. I'll analyze things. I'll sit and take notes on certain guys. I had to walk in Wisconsin and watch guys train and say, all right, and look at things. I would never like to watch, today I'm going on down there in Iowa City in their room to watch practice for 2 days. Visit my parents, going to watch practice, say, hey, you know what? If I see something, hey, Coach Parents, what do you think? What do you think of that? Because, again, you want to see guys get better. And I always analyze things. I'll take my notes, my notebook, and do that. That's just what I do. Because I want to watch the best guys compete. And watch them get better. Now, are they making changes? Especially they're making changes from his freshman year to his sophomore year. Sophomore year to his junior year. Is Evan Wick making changes? Is he adjusting? What's he doing? I'll take notes on that stuff. Look at my notes from back here, up to here. I'll do that. I get notebooks, notebooks of notes. And I enjoy that because, again, it keeps me sharp, keeps me into the sport that way. And, you know, our guy's growing, he's becoming better. It's that Kyle Snyder. He's made changes, and he's on that path. But can he still do that like Burles did? Burles made changes.
You going to be at the World Cup?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't miss the World Cup. Yeah, it's right there.
Well, you might miss it if it takes you an hour to get to your seat and you get mobbed by all the fans.
It took me 45 minutes last time to walk from one door a third of the way around, but that's okay. You know, it's people. You know, people say, what are you doing to get retired? I say, you know what I have to do? I have to help people can become better. That's me in life. Being an athlete, being an individual, someone on the street, anybody. Shaking someone's hand, sign an autograph, doing a clinic. It's all about making people become better. That's what drives me in life that way. At any age, it doesn't matter. It's about helping other people. You get that type of mentality, never about you, it's always about somebody else, you'll be successful. That's what I'm all about, making people better.
Go ahead, Dandy.
What is Chris Bono getting into? What kind of situation is he going to inherit there at Wisconsin?
I think we have some really good kids. I mean, look at the guys we recruited. You got last 4 years, we've done a great job recruiting. I think Chris will take those guys to a new level. I think you'll have a good team, very good team. You know, and look at the South Dakota State. Same thing there. So get a good group of guys, and anything I can do to help Chris Bono become better and support him and his program, I'll do that. Because, you know, I'm a Hawkeye, but I worked at Wisconsin. I'm a Badger, too. You know, there's the athletes that I coach help recruit, but yet at the same time, he's coaching them. But you know, I want to see those guys be successful. I want to see Chris be successful. So anything I can do to help him out and support him in the program, that's my job. Because, again, I'm helping people become better and helping him, his program become better. Because I'm part of that program, part of that history. Like, I'm part of the Iowa history. I'm part of the Wisconsin history. Part of both.
So you're going to stay in Madison for the short term?
Oh, right now I got a job up north about an hour and 20 minutes away. So right now I live in Madison, go back and forth and do that with Superstar Nutrition and Brian Slater, who I'm very thankful for. Been supportive of the program, very supportive of me for my athlete of mine, doing very, very successful in what he does. And again, he lives in a small town, New Lisbon. You know, he's getting in for the job. His wife goes, Bray, why do you want to come to New Lisbon? Why can you live in a smaller community? Can you help coach high school kids instead of college kids? I say, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm about making people better, whether high school or not. I'm about making the community better at the same time. So, yeah, I can do that.
We haven't mentioned our former board chair who was with the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Terry Shockley and Sandy Shockley. They had been great contributors of your program.
Yeah, I see him at the NCAA Championship, supporting the program. I've seen him and Terry and Sandy there do a great job. They supported my program, support you.
Yeah.
They love the sport of wrestling. Super people, and hope they continue to give and support the Badgers as well, too. You know, I'm gone.
One of the things that stuck out to me was when you got that team trophy a few years ago and they named you Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Your brother had just passed away. That has to be one of the most emotional moments in your career up to this point, just knowing that people really cared about you and were behind you.
Yeah, that was good. I don't want to talk about that much. I'll get emotional, but yeah, it was good. Yeah.
And even this year with your final match with Evan Wick, pretty cool to have the recognition from the crowd.
Yeah, I think the recognition, that's part of from me as a competitor. I think some people knew me as a competitor and some only as a coach. And that was probably recognition of both. And I appreciate that very much. Hopefully they appreciate the way that I competed as an athlete and the way I conducted myself as a coach. So I think it's kind of both, I think, when that took place.
USA Wrestling Folk Style Nationals is coming up this weekend. They have a Masters division. Any chance we're going to see it in there?
No, I don't
Barry?
Think so.
Why not? Come on, just one last go.
Here's the deal. I still hand fight in the room and do something like that right there. I talked to Tom Rice about that the other day. I still hand fight, something like that, and drill. But with two new hips, they're older hips now, but now I don't do that no more. But
when's the last time you just went hard? You just went all out, just full throttle?
With Ryan Taylor. About 2-3 years ago, getting him ready because he had hip problems too. So I'd bring him in the room. Him and I would come in the room and do like 21 1-minute goes. I mean, it was a freaking war. I loved it too. Loved
awesome.
It. But, you know, getting him ready for competition, that's as a coach, that's your job. You can have the ready to compete at the highest level.
How can people keep in touch with what you're doing and follow you? What's the best resource if people want more information about what you're doing, your product, and want to make sure they get a chance to follow what you're doing, Barry?
I would say New Haven Foods. I'll be starting there in May. I have a website on that, email there. If anything, even if it's not nutrition, just anything about life, just email, I'll get back to you.
And do you do the Twitter thing? I know you have a handle, Facebook. Is that a good way? Are you savvy on that yet?
No, I mean,
you're not.
Okay. I have Facebook, but I use that to people's birthdays come up, wish them happy birthday, and enjoy with families and friends. But maybe up there now, I'm doing. I can be a little more savvy that way. But anybody needs anything from me, I go to Millhaven Foods. Look for me on the website. I have an email up there starting in May, and it's about nutrition, fine. It's about life. It's fine. Russell's fine. I'll get back to you.
Thank you, Barry. If Andy, you have anything else you want to ask?
Well, I'm curious on a couple of things. You mentioned earlier Carver Hawkeye Arena and the Fieldhouse. You were in that transition.
Yeah.
What was Carver Hawkeye Arena like at the beginning?
Oh, man.
Did it still have the same mystique, or has that been built up over time?
Well, you know, even if you leave from one place to another place, it's newer, it's different. We weren't sure what it was going to be like. But, look back at it now, that was a great change. And Carver is the place, because it's the field house had like bleachers on three sides. They brought in bleachers into the big curtain in the armory. But Carver's just much better, much louder, better facility. Fans are all around you, just like they're hovering over top of you.
And then the last thing I was going to ask you, you had such an outpouring after you announced your retirement of sentiments coming in, Facebook, social media. Yeah. What touched you the most?
Just people saying that, thanks for, taking time for them as individuals. And people, hey, Barry, you taught me at the camp, what you said to me changed the way I viewed my parents or the way I viewed my teammates, or this time of year you helped me out or did that, or you took time to show me a skill or technique to say hi to me or do something like that. That's the main thing, that just, again, touching lives and changing people and knowing that you've given, and now they're better for that. And that's why it's so important to always take time for others.
I love it. Thanks for joining us here at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. We appreciate you being involved. You're a favorite of ours, so to have you here live, it really means a lot to us that you come all the way here to be a part of this. And Iowa and Wisconsin.
Huh?
You're an Iowan and a Wisconsin man, whatever that means.
Well, I'm an Iowan first. This is where I grew up. I love the state of Iowa. I love the people here. I love going back to Carver. Except I'm going down today. I text Tom, hey, Coach Branch, do you mind if I come down and get the chance to watch practice? She starts at 3:00 today. So I'm very glad that Tom lets me back in the room just to watch the guys and do that. So I just love being around sport and wrestling. I love the people of Iowa. My girls group from Wisconsin, they're Badgers. I coach as a Badgers, so it all goes hand in hand. So,
would you think about moving here to Waterloo and just hanging out with us here at the museum, just being our on-site ambassador for the sport? We wouldn't pay
great,
much, but...
Here's the deal. It's not about the pay. People worry about, like my dad always says, Barry, do what makes you happy. It's the best advice my dad could have gave me as a kid growing up. He says, boys... To all of us, here's the deal. It takes big things to make you happy. Never going to be happy. The small things in life must make you happy. Otherwise, you're never going to be happy. And that's the best advice you could have gave me. And then, people talk about all this lovely stuff like this here. I'd come down and see my dad in Cedar Rapids. Put the old black grill, put charcoal in there. He would cook hamburgers, brown beans, potato chips, and Pepsi. He goes, son, does it get any better than this? And I'd say, Dad, it doesn't. It's the best. Isn't it? It's the best. Dad, you know what? It is the best. Because it's simple.
We've been talking with the best Iowa Hawkeye wrestler in the history, according to Barry Davis.
Whoa, no, time out.
Hey,
you said
according
that.
According to Barry Davis, Randy Lewis would dispute you hand and foot. Well,
remember though, Randy Lewis only has two titles. What he got hurt doesn't matter. He had two titles. But he made another big team at college, too.
All right. So it's been a lot of fun. We've enjoyed this live Facebook Live and our podcast for On the Mat. For Andy Hamilton and Barry Davis, I'm Kyle Klingman. You've been listening On the Mat.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.